Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, broadcasting this week from the Million Dollar Idea Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, tell me.
Well, I'll give you the background first. For some reason, and I don't know what the reason is, my wife has the hots for a Honda Pilot.
She does, huh?
Well, I don't know why, but she thinks this is the car of her dreams. Now, we have two dogs, and she wants to tote them around in the Pilot, I guess.
Sure, why not?
Well, so last Sunday, we were driving by a local Honda dealer, and they were closed. But my wife convinced me to pull in anyway so she could have a look at this behemoth.
I'm surprised she wants something so big.
Well, you know, I'm figuring that she thinks if she sits up front, you know, in the driver's seat, and I sit all the way back in the third row, she won't be able to hear me.
Yeah, dream on.
Anyway, we're standing in the dealer's lot looking at a Pilot, naturally, and I'm measuring it, hoping that it's too tall to fit in the garage. and just then a tow truck driver pulls in to drop off a car. And so we say hello to the driver, and he doesn't think, so he doesn't think we're criminals, you know. And we explain that we're just looking at the Pilot. And he says, oh, you're thinking of buying one of those? And I say, no, not really. And my wife says, yeah, yes, we are. And he says, well, I happen to have one, and I love it. It's the best vehicle I've ever had. It's fabulous. I've never had a single problem with it.
Was this guy a plant?
Well, that's the million-dollar idea. Undercover salesman.
Yeah, I love it.
I mean, let's say you're a dealer. You give your salesman the keys to a tow truck with a car on the hook. You tell him to park down the street, and you give him a pair of binoculars.
I can see it now.
And when he sees customers poking around in the lot, he drives up, and whatever they're looking at, he's got one, and he loves it. Best car ever.
It's brilliant. It could work for retail stores, too.
Absolutely. He's a plainclothes salesman. You're looking at a vacuum cleaner, and some woman walks up with a golden retriever that's shedding to beat the band. And she says, oh, I have one of those vacuums. It's wonderful. It picks up everything.
The American retail establishment is going to love you.
Well, everyone else is going to hate me. It's diabolical, but that's why I love it. It would work great. Anyway, if you have a question about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kelly calling from Kanab, Utah.
Kelly, I think I've been in Kanab, Utah. What's there's something there? There's some
Kanab?
Yeah, Kanab.
Kanab.
Yeah, I think I've been there. Was there a canyon or something there?
There's Zion National Park.
There you go, Zion National Park. I know, that's where I was. Yeah, that's not nothing. What's up, Kelly?
Here's my situation. I drive a 2002 Honda Accord, and the problem isn't actually the car. It's the way my fiancé drives it. Yeah, and so what I really need help with is I need some actual mechanical reason for him to drive it differently, because me nagging him just, you know, doesn't work.
That doesn't work. How serious is this?
I sense trouble in paradise here.
Well, that's the question.
Is this the tip of the iceberg, or is this just a passing little, you know, a conflict?
No, he's wonderful in every other respect.
Well,
let's
find out.
Yeah, we're getting married in a couple months, so I need help fast.
Well, we'll see about that. Anyway, what's going on?
Okay, well, my car has a manual transmission. And he says he doesn't like shifting. So when he's driving my car, he'll start the car in first, and then he'll, as we're going, you know, maybe 20, 30 miles an hour, he'll shift all the way up to fourth or fifth.
In other words, he shifts from first to second at 3 miles an hour, from second to third at 7 miles an hour, from third to fourth at 9 miles an hour. By the time he's up to 18 miles an hour, he's in high gear. Is that?
Yes.
Is that right, or have I exaggerated it too much?
Well, perhaps a little bit, but that is the general way that he drives.
He's not English, is he?
No.
Mm-hmm. He's just lazy.
I've met a few people from England.
And they drive like this?
Well, yes, they do, to conserve petrol.
Does it conserve? That's the opposite of my argument.
What is it that you don't like?
What I don't like is that when he does that, the car is going, you know, because it doesn't, and it doesn't, when he hits the gas, it doesn't go anywhere because he's in too high of a gear. And so I'm over there sitting in the passenger seat just grinding my teeth going, downshift.
and so you've obviously made the argument to him that he's lugging the engine, because that's what he's doing. when he's trying to accelerate from 30 miles an hour in fifth gear and the engine is fighting it, okay, and chugging and bucking and all that.
It doesn't want to be
It doesn't want to be in fifth gear at 30 miles an hour. And you've explained that to him. And his answer or his response to you is what?
Well, he doesn't agree. He just doesn't see that there's anything wrong with that, even though to me the car is making this horrible noise. Just like you said, it doesn't want to be there.
Does his automatic transmission car do the same thing when he drives it? Does he have a car?
Well, yeah, he has a truck, and it's automatic, and so he just, you know, puts it in drive. And
well, see, his truck never sounds like this because the automatic transmission would never allow him to be in fifth gear if it had one.
Right.
At 25 or 30 miles an hour. It's just the wrong gear to be in, especially if you're trying to pull a load like climb a hill.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think... Oh, boy.
He just doesn't want to do it.
No, he just doesn't. And I think he sees it as me, you know, just nagging him. And this is, you know...
A minute now. whoa.
Yeah.
Has he mentioned that?
Oh, yeah.
He's mentioned that you're nagging.
He immediately shuts down when I try and say, you know, make a kind...
Well, how's he going to feel about cleaning the toilet? Well...
He's not going to like it.
If you decide, are you going to clean the toilet all the time?
Hopefully we can take turns with that. But when
there shouldn't be hope at this point. There should be a clear understanding and a division of labor.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this is simple. This little crisis can be resolved by your driving when you're in your car, and he can drive when he's in his truck.
So it's just wrong.
It's potentially damaging to the engine. I mean, the reason you want to get into the highest gear as fast as possible is the gear ratio in the higher gears makes the engine turn as slow as possible for a given speed. So, for example, in first gear at 30 miles an hour, the engine is going, mm-hmm. It's going very fast. In fifth gear at 30 miles an hour, the engine is barely moving.
Ooh.
The slower the engine moves, the better your mileage. That's mm-hmm. Okay, we agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he'd agree on that too. However, there are circumstances where you want to accelerate and you are asking the engine to do something that it doesn't want to do, and it could damage the engine if you make the engine lug.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if it's in the wrong gear and it's working hard, it will overheat. And that constant overheating can do long-term damage. It can wear out piston rings. It can eventually cause warping of a cylinder head and a number of other things. And the pinging that's often associated with it can ultimately do damage to your pistons.
Okay,
so all of that it should be avoided.
So I got to tell him, just do what you're supposed to do, and that's...
Right, and I would do this while you're handing him the toilet brush. No, this, Kelly, trust me, this is vitally important. And he has to, you have to explain this to him and hand him the toilet brush. And he's going to ask what that's for, and you'll say... you'll know.
You'll find out.
You'll find out.
Maybe I could do this at our wedding. I think that would be special.
Would be special.
I think so. Instead of exchanging vows, you can exchange toilet brushes. Oh, boy. Well, good luck. But I would try to sort it out ASAP.
Okay.
Yeah. If he's suggesting that you're nagging him, that's bad.
Yeah. Tell him you're thinking about the wedding.
Yeah.
And you're not sure. Disinviting
him, but he has to understand if you're right, you're right, and it's not nagging if you're right. It's just stating the obvious.
And he's not going to like this.
And he's especially not going to like the toilet brush.
He'll be okay. He'll drive the car differently, and maybe I'll clean the toilet once a week more than he has to, and then it'll be fair.
I predict.
Okay. Well, you sound like a very very nice young lady.
I think when you tell him this, he's not going to believe it. You're
going to
say, they are wrong. They are wrong. And then you're going to have him call us.
And then he can get in line with the millions of other people who say that every week. But he'll be wrong this time. Good luck, Kelly.
Thanks, guys.
By all means, keep us posted.
Okay.
Okay, we'll be looking for your names on the society page. See you, Kelly.
Good luck.
All right.
Bye-bye. Oh, boy.
Bye.
Well, I felt that our moral obligation...
Well, I think you're right.
To present the issue of the toilet brush. Right? I mean...
No, it's you're right.
Yeah, I mean...
It's a difficult problem.
Yeah, that's what I got when I... when I got married. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Who's this?
Yeah, this is Frank calling from Orange County, California.
Hey, Frank.
Where are you? You sound very funny.
Yeah, I'm inside a tow truck.
Oh, you are.
You're being towed.
No,
Oh, you're driving the tow truck.
Yes, I drive the tow truck. In fact, that's what I do. I've been doing it for the past 25 years. And the reason I wanted to call you guys, I've got this question that's been haunting me for years.
Yeah.
If you two can answer it, believe me, you're going to be my guardian angel.
We can answer anything. It doesn't have to be right, does it?
Well, here's the question.
Yeah.
Is it possible for the transmission of a car that you're towing to explode while it's being towed? Is that possible?
How many times has this happened to you, Frank?
Well, it only happened once in the past 25 years, and I've never been able to figure it out yet.
What happened?
Well, a few years ago, I went to Palmer Springs to pick up a vehicle and tow it back from there to L.A. While I'm driving back, doing about 60 miles an hour, driving, doing everything is going fine.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden...
Wait a minute. What kind of a vehicle was this? You must remember, because it's been burned into your memory.
Of course, 88 Chevy Blazer Genie, one of those little 4x4.
Jimmy, yeah.
Yeah. And the tow truck, by the way, that I was driving, it wasn't a flatbed truck. This was a truck that picks up the vehicle by only two wheels, and
right.
You drag the other two.
So you were lifting it up from the front, and you were pulling the back wheels were on the ground?
That is correct. And while I'm driving on the freeway, doing about 60 miles an hour, I'm about half hour before I get to my destination,
yeah.
And all of a sudden, bam, bam, bam! A freaking explosion! It rocked my truck completely left and the right. I'm like, oh my God! Oh my God! I looked through my rear view mirror of the tow truck.
Yeah.
I see a ball of fire. I was stunned. I was shocked. I said, oh my God. So what happened? I pulled over as soon as I could.
So the Blazer was on fire.
Exactly. So immediately I pulled over and I was trying to unhook the vehicle. Otherwise, my truck would have caught on fire.
Unhook the vehicle and drive away.
While I'm trying to unhook the car is in flames. And I'm saying, oh, my God, oh, my God. The tank is going to go. The gas tank is going to go. So my heart is beating at 10,000 times per minute.
And where are the flames coming from?
It was coming from underneath the car.
Right where the transmission is.
Yes.
Okay. So I imagine you were able to unhook your tow truck.
I unhooked the tow truck, and the minute I dropped it, as I'm pulling out, bam, 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 a second explosion. The freaking car just went up in smoke.
Wow.
Whoa, this is exciting.
This is true, guys. I'm not kidding.
We believe you.
So anyway, I pulled up, about 500 feet ahead of me, and I'm watching the car just burning down. The car was a toast, became a skeleton. By the time the fire department got there, and they extinguished the car, they really weren't able to tell me exactly what happened. But one speculation that was considered, because the vehicle was a 4x4 and was being dragged, so the transmission apparently got so hot, it exploded. That's why I wanted to ask you guys, is that possible?
It is possible. In fact...
Not that it happens every day, however.
No, as a matter of fact, for years and years, even with two-wheel drive vehicles, it was always suggested if you were towing the vehicle a long distance to remove the drive shaft.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
There you go.
So if you had the following combination of ingredients, maybe a transmission that was already faulty, a very hot day, long-distance towing at high speed, you might have had all the ingredients necessary to so overheat the transmission that it exploded, and in doing so, it blew hot transmission oil over everything. And maybe it caused the car to catch fire, although it's hard to believe that it could catch fire. And I don't know where the boom booms are coming from.
You know, when you hear the explosion, you know, it's like, bam, 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 what are you going to do? I mean... So anyway, it is possible then while the car is being towed. In fact, you're absolutely, does make sense, because I was driving about an hour and a half coming down from Palmer Springs, and it was a hot day.
So did your hair turn instantly white that day? I'm just curious. Or do you no longer have hair?
Yeah, my hair and my beard, too.
They turn white. Yeah, that'll happen.
Not only turn white, but also burn.
Yeah, by the way, I mean, for anyone that has an all-wheel drive vehicle, if you tow it with only with two wheels on the ground and two wheels off, you run the risk of damaging what's called the center differential. How do I know this? Because it happened to a car.
You did it.
Well, I didn't do it. My son was driving my car. He broke down, and some idiot towed it without using a flatbed and damaged the center diff.
So, idiot like me?
Yeah, another idiot like Frank. Yeah. Well, Frank, we are very happy that you managed to get your tow truck unhooked that day, but it must have been a scary few seconds while you were trying to let the thing down and get everything disconnected. You know, from now on, you should carry bolt cutters with you. So if you have to get the truck disconnected right away, snip, snip, cut the chain and drive away. Frank, it's been a pleasure. You planning to retire soon? You sound like you've been driving tow trucks a long time.
Yeah, no, I got another 25 years to go.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, be careful. See you later.
Thanks,
man.
A lot,
good luck.
Guys. I appreciate it.
Bye, 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 bye. All right. It's time for us to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll continue clogging up America's breakdown lanes by giving out bad car advice.
Hey, everybody's good at something.
So stay tuned. We'll be back in just a minute.
I'ma set my wheels in motion. Hightail it out of town. Rabbit's foot swinging on my keychain. It ain't done me any good. Had to duck out of that pool hall, 'cause I bet more than I should. I ain't turning back, starting with today. Driving my bad luck away.
And even though zombies lose their appetites for flesh whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and lazy puzzlers.
Really?
Yeah. While we sit here and work our tonsils to the bone, the puzzler is spending the entire summer goofing off. Can you believe that?
Oh, I thought the puzzler was gone all summer because you were goofing off.
Oh, sure. Expose me for the lazy yutz that I am. I thought you had my back, man.
No, no.
Guess not. Well, anyway, the puzzler is off for a little bit longer, and whenever the puzzler is off, we always provide a classic puzzler for you on the website. So check it out there.
I will, yeah.
You will not. Good. You will not.
No, I won't.
Anyway, if you have a question for us about your car, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Annette Jones, and I'm from Anchorage, Alaska.
Hi, Annette. Huh. How are you?
Hi. My problem is, about 6 months ago, I got a huge bag of crab from my sister and brother-in-law. And so...
Oh, huge bag of what?
A big bag of crab. King crab.
Oh, crab!
Oh,
with
you
a
said
B.
Crab!
I thought it was with a P.
I thought she said crap.
We've lowered the bar here significantly in Car Talk, but if that's what you want to talk about, that's what we'll talk about, Annette.
Yeah, it was crab. A big bag of crab.
Okay, got it.
And so... I put it in the back of my car.
Yeah.
And then I drove home and I put my car in the garage, the heated garage. Hmm. And I woke up the next morning and I had left the crab in the back of the car. Well, the crab melted and juice leaked in the back of my car. This has been about 6 months ago. And I have shampooed the car. I've put ammonia. I've talked to everybody. We were
and everything smells of crabs.
Crab, yeah, with a B. And the thing is, it's, you know, I can't find the exact smell, so I'm in the back, you know, putting my nose on the floor, trying to figure out exactly where it's coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
so
what
it's,
you
it's,
have to do?
It's in the carpet?
Yeah, and so I took it to the dealership, and they said, oh, yeah. So they quoted me $5,000 to remove the carpet and recarpet it.
I think what you need for the car is a fire.
I love my car.
Well, no, the insurance company will pay. You need to call Frank and have him tow your car.
Yeah.
Oh, and my God. What kind of car is it that it's $5,000 to replace the floor mats?
It's a Mercedes-Benz ML320.
Oh, it's old.
It's a 2001.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's great. I put those, what are they, Blizzak or whatever.
It's only worth $5,000.
I know, but I just, so I was just wondering, I mean, my husband's put, he's mixed baking soda and ammonia.
No home remedy is going to do this. You may need something like...
A fire, I'm telling you.
Fire. Yeah. You made it like something like radioactive thorium.
I was afraid of that because it's a creeper smell, too, you know, especially when it's warm out. It gets, you think you have it, and I sprayed vinegar and baking soda back there, and that works for, that's like a short time fix.
Huh.
And it goes away.
Because all you're doing is masking it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you need to kill whatever's in there, and there are a couple of things that will kill it.
Okay.
Number one is fire. There's no question about that. But getting the carpet out, I think, might be the best thing you can do. And the carpet is one piece.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so all the seats have to come out. So it's fairly labor-intensive.
Yeah.
You know, so I think the best thing to do is to, this is the kind of a job that you'd be better off taking to a body shop.
Okay.
Because it might cost you less than half of what the dealer is going to charge you.
Okay.
And before they do that, they do have at their disposal, the body shop next to us has all kinds of chemicals that I've never heard of before. But I had a stain in a customer's car that looked like it was just dirt. And we tried all those remedies that you buy in the auto parts store, everything they had on the shelf.
Right.
And we tried scrubbing it and rubbing it and doing everything and spraying Fantastic on it and all the things that traditionally work, and nothing worked. And the fellow gave me some stuff. He said, mix this up with a little bit of water and put it on with a scrub brush. He said, the stain will be gone. I said, how do you know? He said, it takes every stain away.
Oh.
And it did. And I'm not saying that they're going to have something that's going to fix your smell, but I would take it to a body shop first and let them have their way with it. The worst they can do is rub right through the carpet.
Right. Right.
So I trust you didn't eat these crabs.
Well, we did. We had a party immediately because they had to be eaten.
They were thawed out. I mean, why not eat them?
Why not?
Yeah. Were they good?
Well, they were Alaskan king crab. I mean, the legs were huge. They were wonderful.
So this bag was in the back seat.
No, it was in the, you know, the, it's a hatchback looking thing. So it was in the back floor.
Oh, you know what it did to it? It leaked down under the seat, back seat.
Right. It must have rolled. There's that slope there. It must have rolled down.
Yeah, it rolled down there. So that's why the seats have to come out. I'm guessing that when you take the seats out, you're going to find a puddle of something there. Or you're going to find it's like finding Lake Victoria. You're going to find the headwaters of the stink.
Yeah.
And you're going to be able to surround this and treat it and get rid of the smell. And I predict you will not have to replace the carpet.
Okay. Somebody said a bubblegum bomb or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Yeah, but take it to a body shop. They deal with stinks all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know.
Good luck.
All right.
Thank you.
See you, Annette.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, oh boy. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Joe. I'm calling from Ephrata, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Joe. Where in Pennsylvania?
Ephrata.
Ephrata. Oh, that sounds biblical.
Oh, I think it is. Yeah, it's an Old Testament name, I think.
Yeah, yeah. The Ephrata in the Tigris.
Yeah.
Anyway,
well, thanks for calling, Joe.
What's going on, man?
Well, I have a fantastic Subaru Forester. It's an 03, but recently it's given me some funny sounds. When I turn hard right initially, now sometimes hard left, it's intermittent, like say 3 to 5 miles an hour, turning into a parking lot or something.
Yeah.
It will make a grinding sound. I hear it in the back. It sounds like metal on metal, like a... And then as I slow down, or if I straighten the wheel and go straight again, it tapers off and goes away.
And it's coming from the back of the vehicle.
I think so. I've had it checked by two different mechanics. The first is like an independent garage that we often take our cars to, and he went out and drove with me. You know, he hung his head out the passenger side door while I actually kind of zigzagged.
You got to watch out for those telephone poles.
I was careful.
I know.
Good, good.
He thought something was rubbing in the back. He thought maybe the
well, you knew that.
Disc for the brakes. Yeah, he thought the disc was maybe warped, but he took it off, he checked it, he put everything back together, and it still made the noise.
Well, here's a question. If you make your turn to the left, is the noise likely to be more pronounced if you're making the turn harder and faster?
Yes, definitely.
And is the noise coming, when you do that, is it coming from the right rear?
Yes, that was the original. Actually, originally was doing it to the left, and I would hear it from the right rear. So it seemed like when it was under stress, you know, like the car's leaning a little bit, it would do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then very recently, it starts doing it a little bit when I turn to the right.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So something's loose or swaying? I don't know.
Oh, something's swaying, all right. It's going to be your credit card.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we've paid a little bit to both the independent garage, and then we had it to the dealer. Nobody's figured it out yet.
Well, I tell you, from our vast experience with these, and we have had a lot of experience with Foresters, we replace a ton of rear axle bearings.
Okay.
And when a bearing is gone, oftentimes the first sign that it's gone is when you make turns and really load the bearing. For example, when you're making a hard left-hand turn, if you have a bearing that's about to go or just starting to wear out, you're going to get the noise on the right-hand side because you're asking that bearing that's about to give up on you to bear more load.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, it's going to complain, and it's going to make that kind of noise. The noise?
That's pretty close, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's probably it. And you don't have to do anything about this yet. We usually tell customers to wait until it makes the noise all the time.
Is this an expensive thing to take apart and fix? A lot of labor associated with it?
It's a few hundred dollars.
Okay.
And sometimes on the older ones, and I would classify yours as a medium old one, it can be difficult to get the thing apart. But expect to spend about $300.
$300, okay.
Unless you bring it to us, we charge $700. But
well, thanks. I appreciate it. I think we've shed some light on a problem that was vexing us, so that's great.
Oh, well, Tommy and I get vexed every week.
See you. Great talking with you.
Same here. Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
From Mississippi.
Hi, Chelsea. What's going on?
Well, I have a 2005 Dodge Neon, and I have really drove it in the past 5 years. It has 102,000 miles on it.
Mm.
It is a good car, though. For the past 5 years, I've had no troubles with it, just your normal maintenance. But in the past 2 months, I think it's rebelling on me.
Oh. Well, rebelling might not be the right word, but maybe we'll find the right word in a minute. What's going on?
Well, I have a combination of noises and problems with it, starting with when I'm driving, I hear this noise on, like, the front left. I don't know if it's coming from the tire or underneath the hood, and it kind of does that little noise, and the faster I go, the faster it goes, and so after 45, I don't hear it anymore.
Make the noise again?
It kind of does
And as you go faster?
And if I go faster, it goes faster with it. It sounds like something's turning over.
Yeah.
It also sounds like I have crickets committing suicide underneath my hood.
Suicide.
Well, pretty soon.
How did
that noise will go away.
How did you know how that sounds?
Well, I would imagine it sounds a lot like what my car sounds like.
And is that there all the time, the cricket noise?
It is. It is there majority of the time.
Okay. I think I know what the cricket noise is. The other noise we're still working on.
I've got more problems.
Oh.
You needed a complicated
Are you going
one today,
in ascending or descending order? are we working up to some kind of a grand finale here?
We are.
Okay.
We are
good.
Go ahead, Chelsea.
I'm a drama teacher. I like drama.
Okay.
Sometimes it just won't go.
Oh, really?
It will just, like, I'll be driving down the road, and it'll feel like when you need to shift gears on a manual transmission, but it's an automatic.
Oh.
And what do you mean? You step on the gas and it doesn't go?
Well, it hesitates. It kind of like it wants to die. It does it if I stop at a red light and then try to start back up.
Right.
It acts like it may want to die on me. And it may do that if I'm going up a steep hill or...
Can you drive it at 75 on the highway?
Oh, yeah. I drive back and forth between Tennessee and Mississippi all the time.
So under what circumstances does it buck like this or and misbehave?
It's usually when I'm going at lower speeds.
Ah, and the check engine light is on, of course.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's going to be tomorrow morning.
Well, actually, here's the funny thing. 2 months ago, when it first started doing this, it made this knocking noise, and I thought something fell off underneath my car. The check engine light came on, and I went into AutoZone, and I had them plug it into the little machine that they do.
Uh-huh.
And he said, oh, it's your spark plugs. So I took it to a mechanic, and I said, it's my spark plugs. And he said, no, it's your valve cover gasket. And he said, let me turn that check engine light off for you. So I had somebody, I said, I need a valve cover gasket. And they said, no, it's your belt. So I had my belt checked last week, and they said, no, your belts are fine. And somebody said, no, it's your ball bearing joints. Something has to do with the tires. And I said, okay. And then somebody else said, no, that's not it. I'm like, help.
Help.
Yeah.
All right. So,
we can help you with this.
Is there one more bad thing that's going? What's the worst? Is there one more terrible thing?
Because the worst thing is twice now I've just come out of a store and it just won't start.
It won't start.
It just won't start. But I'll sit there and I'll pump the gas and it'll eventually start. It's done that twice now.
Is it cranking?
Yeah.
It thinks about starting. Wow, 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 wow. Are these always followed by a trip of some kind? In other words, you've driven it and then shut it off for a short period of time and then come back and tried to start it hot?
The two times it's had time to cool. I was shopping.
How much time to cool?
Hour.
An hour okay.
Half.
Well, that's a hot restart. So that could be a lot of things. So let's go back to the first thing that you talked to us about an hour ago. the chirping, squeaking noise coming from the wheels, I believe that's probably your wear sensors on your brakes. Or you may have a sticking caliper. And that'll make the cheep, 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 cheep kind of noise.
Okay.
Remember that? That was the first thing.
That was the first
thing. The second thing, the crickets that are committing en masse suicide. I believe that's probably a water pump that's bad. You're the right age to need it. Your car's the right age, whether its engine is. To need a new water pump.
Okay.
The bucking, I don't know exactly what that is, but it's not spark plugs because that would persist and be worse at higher speeds. It sounds like it could be something as simple as plugged injectors, perhaps, or it could be a bad airflow sensor. But that's why I said eventually your check engine light's going to come on. I bet if you went out tomorrow morning and it were on and you had it checked, don't take it back to that other guy. Because he was a
Which
dope.
Which one?
Don't take it back to any of these guys. The ball joint guys, the belt guys, the bearing guys, all those guys, they're all dopes. The valve cover guy. Yeah, don't go to him. So when the check engine light comes on, go to somebody you have not tried before, like maybe the dealer. Okay? And the no start thing, when it cranks and doesn't start, I mean, that suggests that perhaps you have either a bad ignition coil or a bad crank sensor that's not sending the signal to the computer that the engine is cranking, and when that happens, it won't fire off the injectors.
Okay.
And it could be that, or you could have leaking injectors, and you've got to get it to some place where they can reproduce these things. So considering, and I'm sure this is just the tip of the iceberg, Chelsea, I'm thinking you ought to leave this with somebody for a long time. It's going to take them a long time to work through this list.
Oh,
and,
no.
Oh, yeah. And
maybe you got too many things going wrong here.
I know. Well, you know what it might be saying to you?
Trade me in.
No, you paid for.
Chelsea, trade me in.
Well, you are blessed, my child, because it's rare that so many things go wrong at the same time. When all these this is like an omen. When all these things happen at the same time, it's saying to you, trade me in. And, if you ignore this, you will do so at your own peril. You may have wrung every bit of good behavior out of this car that was possibly out there to have.
Oh, it was beautiful for 5 years.
But get it checked out by somebody that's competent. When they give you the list and you find out how many thousands of dollars it's going to be, then you'll be a lot more amenable to trading it in. All right. I hear the crickets now. What is that?
I'm actually outside.
Oh, you're outside.
Oh, it's like, the crickets.
All right, Chelsea. Good luck. You'll be fine.
Thanks, and I love y'all on Cars. That's my favorite cartoon.
Oh, thanks.
Great.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, look, we have to take a short break.
And when we come back, what wonderful surprises will we have for the listeners?
Well, we'll have answers to their questions, just about anything automotive.
That's it? Answers to questions?
Well, what do you want? I'm like a year's supply of Eskimo pies and a Pontiac Aztec?
Sure, that sounds good.
Well, tough you ain't getting. We'll be back with answers to your car questions, and that's it in just a minute, so please stay tuned. I got your Pontiac Aztec right here, pal.
Hey, have you heard the story of the hot rod race between a Lincoln and a saucer from outer space? The story's been neglected, some people say. I've been affected by cosmic rays. A great green disc about 40 feet wide was sucking up cows on the countryside. I said, honey, get your camera, climb inside. We're going to take my Lincoln out for a ride. She's a supercharged Lincoln that's all huffed up, but that saucer was a flying and I couldn't keep up. He shot me with a ray to try to slow me down, but it bounced off my bumper, hit the ground. Hey! She said, I smell smoke, but I wasn't afraid. Just keep taking pictures, honey, don't let it get away. That's something you don't see every day. A Lincoln and a saucer and a hot rod race. Yeah!
And even though Prius drivers wish they drove something a little louder whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and where you can find a puzzler this week.
What if I want to avoid a puzzler this week?
Stay put. But if you do have a hankering for a puzzler, head over to our website, cartalk.com, where we've posted a puzzler from the archives for your puzzling pleasure.
Huh.
In the meantime, we'll take your car questions right now at 888-CAR-TALK. Which is also, believe it or not,
888-227-8255.
Very good.
How about that?
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Kelsey from Mankato, Minnesota, but calling from Mount Pleasant, Michigan.
Hi, Kelsey. Is that relevant?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so shoot.
Okay.
So I drive a 2002 Pontiac Grand Prix. And about a month ago, I was driving through a parking lot and accidentally drove over a curb. And ever since then, any time that I'm turning left, especially with if I'm going on an incline or a decline, there's kind of like a thud noise or a popping noise that happens just on the left turns. And I'm just kind of concerned about the safety and everything with that because I drove the 12 hours here to Michigan, and in another couple days I have to do it again to drive back.
Oh, okay. So
and is that the same side that you wrecked?
I didn't wreck. It was like a different level in the parking lot that I didn't realize.
So the noise
it was
on what?
The left side.
Yeah.
So the noise and the incident are on the same side of the car.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay,
I'm
that's
sure,
what
I'm sure they're completely unrelated.
It's just when I'm turning, though.
How fast were you going when you had this collision?
I was probably going like 10 miles an hour.
Yeah, that means 30. did your head hit the headliner?
No.
How many times? No. Okay.
And the noise again is a one time.
Yeah, it's just a one time when I'm turning. Going left, just like a quick pop or thud.
Well,
can you make the noise?
It's kind of like a. Is that?
Oh.
I mean that quiet.
Well, no. Well, it's kind of quiet. It's not extremely loud, but I can still hear it during the turn.
You know what I think you might have
okay.
done? You might have broken something called the stabilizer link.
Uh-huh.
And it may be just when you're making a turn now that the two pieces of the link, which are no longer, it used to be one piece, but the two pieces of the link, because it's broken, are hitting one another. And it happens that when you're making a left-hand turn, perhaps because you are changing the how much the spring on that side is getting compressed and allowing those two pieces to rub against each other. And that one time they hit, it'll make that click, almost a click kind of sound, or a snap kind of sound. So I think that might be it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to lull you into a sense of complacency, because it could be something serious, so you should get someone to look at it. But
yeah, you got a mechanic you can trust?
I'm sure I could find one.
Oh, you don't have one then?
Oh, you don't have
one.
No.
Yeah, don't forget, this is boat payment season. So wherever you go to, try to assess whether or not that person is honest, and the best way to do that is to go to our website and search the mechanics files. And you may find someone in either Mount Pleasant or Mankato that can help you, but preferably someone in Mount Pleasant because you're there now.
Is it dangerous to drive on?
Well,
or
no? If it's what we think it is, it's not dangerous. But
it could be what we don't think it is.
Yeah, we often don't think too good. So before you start the trip back, you should get someone to check it out. And if it is the stabilizer link, it's not a whole lot of money to fix it.
Okay.
All righty.
All right. Thank you guys so much.
See you, Kelsey.
Yep, bye.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Nathan from Denver.
Hey, Nathan. What's cooking, man?
Well, I got a 93 Toyota Camry with about 205,000 miles on it. And I just got it back from the mechanic a couple months ago with for an oil change, and I have a whole laundry list of problems here and that they mentioned to me were needed to be fixed. And so I'm calling you guys to see which ones are actually a priority and which ones I can pass on to the next owner.
The next owner? Who's that going to be?
Well, possibly the junkyard.
Oh, okay, so
give us the list.
Give us the list, and we'll give you a yay or nay.
We won't do it until we get the whole list.
All right. Well, the first problem is kind of undiagnosed. It leaks coolant whenever I take a trip that lasts more than an hour and involves a change of altitude of more than 1,000 feet.
Okay.
You got to fix that.
Well, we're
going to wait till the end.
Well, let's see what the other things are.
But you got to do that.
How long is the list, by the way?
Five items.
Five. Okay, okay, that's good.
Shoot.
All right. Needs hood struts.
Oh, you crossed it off the list. Hood
right.
struts. You kidding me? You're lucky you have a hood.
All right. Needs tires. I guess that depends on how badly it needs tires. All right.
Yeah. You know, if they're old tires and the sidewalls are cracked or you have no tread, I'd say you need tires.
All right. The right outer axle boot is leaking.
Small potatoes. Don't worry about that.
All right. Power steering pressure hose leaking.
What's the status? What's your financial situation, Nathan?
Broke as a joke.
All right, so suffice it to say that the tires right now are the only thing you may have to address.
Okay.
The power steering hose, it depends on how bad the leak is.
Yeah, the fluid level hasn't been too bad. I've been checking that.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so the leak is, the hose is probably sweating. You know, the hose is mostly a rubber hose that has metal fixtures swaged onto the hose so that it can connect to the pump and the rack. And that's usually where the leaks occur, although sometimes a leak will develop right in the middle of a hose. So when that happens, you'll know it because you'll have fluid all over the ground, and you won't be able to park the thing easily because you'll have lost your power steering.
Okay,
but until that time, you can just keep an eye on the fluid. The coolant leak, I am a little bit concerned about, so let's go back. Was that everything on the list?
Pretty much. It says the transmission's leaking, but I know I'm not going to fix that because that's
going to
be way too much.
Oh, God, no. So let's go back to this. Let's go back to this interesting cooling system leak. It leaks when?
Basically, if I take the car up more than 1,000 feet in altitude and the trip lasts more than about an hour.
Really?
Other than that, it either doesn't leak or it doesn't leak very much.
But you're already at 5,000 feet, aren't you?
Well, it overheated on the way out here, too.
Audio from where?
From Indiana.
So you came to Denver, it overheated.
And do you now live in Denver?
Yeah, and I now live in Denver.
Move. Well, either you move or you got to buy a new car.
No.
It's cheaper to move.
No, you may need something as simple as a radiator cap.
That's actually what they replaced on the way out here.
Ah.
So they did, and that didn't fix
that's
it.
That's too bad.
It didn't fix it.
But is it likely, however, when you're driving up 1,000 feet, for example, that the engine is laboring pretty hard because you're climbing a mountain?
Well, yeah, that's pretty likely.
So it isn't the elevation per se, but it's the fact that you're trying to get from one elevation to a higher elevation. We at Car Talk are trying to get to a higher elevation as well.
Yes, we are.
So it may be that the load imposed on the engine is causing it to overheat because you have a plugged radiator, for example, or a thermostat that isn't opening up all the way.
Okay.
So you can have somebody assess the condition of your radiator and maybe even take it out and flow test it. And if they determine that it's plugged, put a new radiator in and a thermostat, and that might cost you, I don't know, $400 or so.
Okay.
And then if the tires are bad, do those. And then you're probably good for another, you know, $80,000.
So basically I need to borrow, $500, $600 from my parents?
Well, stay on hold. We're gonna put you in touch with the loan department here. All right?
Your parents are much better.
Yeah. You know, if you need the loan, we give high-interest loans if the folks won't come through for you. So if you need us, call back, Nathan.
And just tell your parents that all these things are safety-related.
Exactly.
All right. Well, no, they'll trust you guys.
Okay.
Have them call us.
All right.
See you, Nathan.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Elissa calling from Burlington, Vermont.
Elissa?
That's right.
What's going on?
Well, I have two questions, and here's the first one. My boyfriend and I, Andrew, are wondering if his Ford F-150 2001 pickup truck is sturdy enough to pull the 5,000-pound house on wheels that we're building this fall.
5,000?
How far are you pulling it?
Many, many miles, like thousands probably.
Thousands of miles.
Yeah.
So explain to us what this house on wheels is. This a trailer?
Yeah, it's going to be about 8 by 14 feet that we're going to build on a flatbed trailer frame.
Oh, you're going to build it on a flatbed trailer frame, and then you're going to slide it off using, like, what, Vaseline and get it onto a foundation?
No, it's actually going to stay on the trailer. That's going to be its foundation.
Oh, this sounds charming. And where, pray tell, are you going from in two with this thing?
Well, the current plan is to build it in Vermont, and eventually we will be trying to move perhaps to the desert southwest or
Vermont isn't desolate and remote enough for you, right?
Yeah. Well, it's certainly cold enough for us, so we're trying to move somewhere warmer.
So you want to go to the desert southwest. So I have an alternative idea, and it may not appeal to you, but how about you drive the F-150 to the desert southwest and build the thing there?
Well, we have considered that. We have a lot more resources in Vermont as far as lumber and places to build and people that know how to build to pick their brains. So that's kind of the draw to Vermont.
So you need to know if this F-150 has a 5,000-pound towing capacity. And it depends on whether or not it has a V8 engine, whether or not it has the towing package, you know, with the oversized radiator and all that. And if it doesn't have that stuff, I think you'd be putting the thing in jeopardy.
So not a good idea is what you're saying.
Not to mention the added danger of driving around with a house behind you. You know?
Yeah, it'll probably be a pretty slow trip.
Wow. Who hatched this cockamamie idea?
Well, to be honest, it was his idea. But what we're considering is buying a diesel pickup truck to convert that to run on vegetable oil and then hopefully use that. But it's a little bit more expensive, so we're trying to weigh out our options.
Okay. So you guys want to go completely green. You want to build a house from trees that have fallen down in the forest. Mm. And you want to build it and then take it to the southwest.
That's part of the idea, yeah.
Yeah, never mind that most of the other houses in the southwest are not made from wood. They're made from stone and stuff, right? Adobe brick. That's what you should be doing.
Well, that might be heavier than 5,000 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, but you can make the adobe bricks there.
That's true, and maybe...
Yeah, I think you should go to the library and get out all the books you can on adobe brick making and bone up on it. Yeah, and it's fireproof, too.
Well... There we go. If the truck explodes on the way, we'll be in better shape that way.
Yeah. So you'd have to make sure that if you're going to tow something of that, you know, weight, mm-hmm. you'd have the right brakes. It has to have the heavy duty braking package and all that. And,
okay.
And you can find all that out, by the way, from the VIN. You can find out what all the equipment is from the vehicle identification number. And usually there's a decal either in the glove box of this thing or on the door, one of the door pillars. There's a code that'll tell you what it has for a differential, what it has for brakes, and whether or not you have the heavy-duty brakes, whether or not you have the heavy-duty radiator, the transmission cooler, and all that. And if you don't have that stuff and you're driving in the hot desert southwest pulling a house behind you, you could lose your brakes, for example, or overheat the transmission and ruin it and end up spending, you know, $3,000 to rebuild that stuff. And you don't want to do that. So you got to make sure you have the right vehicle for the job. So to answer your question... Adobe bricks.
Well, so if this sounds like this truck might not be the answer. So
yeah, it might not be. So that being the case, keep this truck, drive it there, and build the house there.
Well, here's my other question.
Yeah.
So if we do end up buying this diesel pickup truck,
which we know you are going to buy,
which we're probably going to
buy. Oh, we knew that already. I could have told you that 5 minutes ago, but that's okay.
Okay. So the question is, it's going to be a little bit more expensive up front. So should I sell my 98 Oldsmobile Cutlass and put that money into this truck and then buy a little motorcycle as my escape vehicle?
You are getting complicated.
So you have a 98 Cutlass.
Yeah.
What do you figure that's worth?
Maybe $1,700.
Okay, well, let's round it off to $500. And let's be generous. We'll say $1,000 or so. And you're gonna throw that $1,000 into the new vehicle, the new diesel truck.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
You think that's the best plan?
No, I don't. And then once you get out there, you don't know exactly where you're going in the desert Southwest. I mean, you have a spot picked out?
No, not. It's going to kind of be dependent on where we can find some.
Oh, it's going to be like squatters. You're going to wherever the truck breaks down. That's where you.
That's where you're going to live.
That's where you're going to unhook the trailer.
Well, you know, if it comes to that, we'll have to figure it out, I guess.
Oh, and then you, so the trailer sits there, the house is on it, you build a little set of stairs so you can get into the house, and you plant some gypsum weed around the perimeter of the trailer.
Yeah,
I like
and you call it home.
Well, Alyssa, I envy you. We've given you a hard time, but this is, sounds like, however misguided it may be, it sounds like the basis of a wonderful adventure.
All right. It's good to have someone behind us.
Well, yeah, not too close behind, but I do think you need to make sure that you get some lessons about towing a trailer and all that if you are going to do that.
Okay.
You know, and it may be helpful, in fact, how about if you actually put the materials to build the house on the trailer and then built it there with, you know, having learned the basics. So you didn't have to tow the house.
Just tow the materials.
Tow the materials, yeah. All lying flat.
Oh, that might be a wiser way to go.
You know, you can even make like a kit. You can label everything. Part A attaches to part B. Part B attaches to C. Da, da, da. So when you get there, you'll know how to put it together because you'll have had some instruction. And yet you won't have to carry this big looming mess behind you that is going to act like a sail when you get on some of those mountain passes.
Yeah.
Well, I am envious, Alyssa, and have a wonderful time.
Oh, well, thanks so much.
And keep us posted, by all means.
We will, and thanks for your advice.
All right.
Take care.
See you later.
Bye.
Okie doke. Well, it's happened again.
Wow.
You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly Nix, and Catherine Frau Blücher. Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Chris Cuff and Emily Mackey, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Montreal Matzo Ball, Mrs. Paul Burger Stall, Melon Ball, Big and Tall, Free Lunch Crawl, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. My brother's home health aide from the Rome office is Anita Depenza. Our rafting guide is Euphrates Rapids. Our obsessive yard care specialist is Moses Lonigan. Our head of purchasing is I Know a Guy. Our test car recovery assistant is Benton Mangled. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the jackhammerers who wait till you're on the phone in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
Isn't that what I just said? We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1033, traipse through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, the 10 features we'd like to see on all cars.
Yeah, I have bad news. Your in-dash cappuccino machine just didn't make the cut, you know.
It didn't?
No, it didn't. But things like blind spot monitoring, safe distance technologies, and a sorry button did.
Sorry button? I thought driving a Heat meant never having to say you're sorry.
You're hopeless, man.
I'm sorry.
Check out Click and Clack's top 10 features we'd like to see in all cars and add your own suggestions.
It's all on our website, cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though WikiLeaks threatens to expose the names of Car Talk listeners whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.